Praise God. God's good, isn't he? He's a great God. When I started studying this, I looked over the congregation and I said, God, these people know this. I said, surely there's something else. And he said, this is it. You need to tell them this. I said, but they know it. He said, tell them. So we're here to tell you how great God is. How much he does love you. Praise God. I'll start out in, I didn't have Kathy help me with this word. Ephesians chapter 1. Reading out of the New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heaven realm because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family and bring us to himself through Jesus Christ. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity to feel your presence. We ask you, Lord, to help me bring back everything we study. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't do this. But with him by our side, we can. Amen. God chose us before he made the world. Think about that. Even back before Genesis 1:1, God knew that there was going to be a John C. Skipper walking on this planet. That's me, by the way, if you didn't know who it was. You know. He loved me, and he loves all of us. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer out here or something because I can get into a lot of trouble because if I said God chose you, there's a lot of people believe that God chose you to go to heaven and chose you to go to hell. But I'm not telling you that. God chose all of us. And I thought about it. How did God choose us? Remember when you was in phys ed or out on the ball field and the team was choosing up a team? How did the person choose the people that was going to be on his team? Well, first part, the captain of the team, he'd look over the situation and he would look and pick out the best athletic person if you was playing sports, correct? Now, they might look at Jamie there and say, my, I want him on my team because he might hit a ball very, very far. He might look at Jim back there and say, boy, he's fast in his day. But, yeah, that's how we choose. And then we just kept working our way down to the less favored or less ability person to get it, to get on the team. But not God. He chose all. Because he loved us. If I could get anything through tonight, God loves you. Like I say, y'all know it. But I have to tell you tonight that God loved us. He put it all in plan. He sent his son to walk on this earth, to die on that cross, so that we can have a way to get to him. And people will say there's many doors to get in and out of heaven. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells us that there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't notice that when I came in, but there used to be a sign out here that says, do not enter on these two doors. I don't know if it's still there or not, but when we have funerals, I know they put a sign in so everybody comes in through one door and out the other. But that's how it is. We can't enter but through Christ, because of God's love for us. And we see here that he poured out his Spirit. He made us, even before we began, to know, and he has predestinated us to do what we need to do. And I thought about that a little bit, predestination. And like I say, God didn't point this person to go here and this point person to go to the bad place. But we have a choice in our lives to make. And we see here that we can do this. How many of you travel with a GPS? Yeah. We do, don't we? I remember when they first came out, someone got a GPS. I said, how is it working? She said, oh, I don't like it at all. I wanted to go to Cumberland, and I programmed in Cumberland, and it sent me down 219 to Kaiser's Ridge, down 68. I don't travel that way. Well, probably if you look at it, that is probably the quickest way to Cumberland. But if you go going someplace that you don't know where you're going, it will tell you how to get there. And it's up to you to travel that way. And it's just like traveling with God. And my hardest thing was dealing with the GPS when it said to turn right in 300 yards. Well, the first road I come up to, I turned off. I didn't go the 300 yards. And that's one thing we have to do is listen to God. He might say, you need to get ready to make a turn. We have to follow his lead. And that's one thing. And I have to tell this story on me. It's hilarious. They call me the other right now at work. We got a call in the middle of the night. And we was going and we stopped at the, we went to leave. And we both pulled out our phones and we put in the address. I looked on the map and I says, I know this place, but I don't know this road that was on there. It was a new road. And they've put in new roads before, you know. So we was going down the road and I knew pretty much, you know, I've been all over Garrett County. And usually there's not too many places that I haven't been or seen or know where it's at. So we're going down there and sure enough, the GPS, it says in 300 yards, take the second right. We pulled up there and there was two roads, one there and one there. Looked at my buddy and I said, which one? He said, well, it said the second one. So up there we go and we're winding up through there. And, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't know where you're going, it gets dark, doesn't it? And we're going up through there and I said, you know where? No, I don't know where we're at anyway. We're going up there and I'll just turn my back. I'm driving along and my buddy says, take the next right. I went, okay. He said, John, the other right. Up in there we went, and we found, got back down out of there. Another thing amazes me, when we're traveling with God in different places, do you ever notice the first time you ever go any place, the first time you go down that road, it seems like you travel forever to get to point A to point B? Then when you turn around and come back, it's short. Why is that? Someone explain that to me. But that's how it is. We need to listen to what God is saying to us because he is directing our paths. If you look back at Psalms 139, it tells us God knows when I stand up and when I sit down. He knows when I go west, east, north, south. It doesn't matter. He's there following me. He's already been there. There's a thing on my phone that pops up every month. It tells me where all I have been over that month. Someone says, John, I can take that off of your phone. I said, no, I like it. I want to see where I've been because, you know, getting old, you know, I forget where I've been. And I said, one thing nice about it is that it can tell me where I've been, but God knows where I'm going. And that is one thing we have to remember. God is tracking us and keeping us. God damn. And that one down there, it says, in his such richest kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us of our sins. He has shown us his kindness on us and along with all the wisdom and understanding. God has forgiven us of our sins through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we can do but ask God to come into our hearts. Verse 9, it says, God has now revealed to us the mystery plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own pleasure. And this is the plan. Are you ready? You know what the plan is? At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Jesus Christ, either in heaven and on earth. At the right time, God will answer your prayer. If you're going through something and don't know what's going on with you in your life, you don't know which way to go, hang on. The plan is just about ready to come forth. I know you listen to the news and everything on the news is this person didn't do that, this person did this, this person done that, back and forth, blah, 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 blah. But one of these days, God's got everything under control and he will bring it to point. And we see here, this is one thing we have to do, because everything in heaven and earth, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us to in advance, and he's made everything work with according to his plan. God's got it under control, and we've got an inheritance with God. Think about that. The inheritance of God. God has something for us. I know my in-laws and my mom and dad left us stuff, and I don't know why I still have some of the stuff Dad left. Yeah, it's because it was Dad's. But guess what? God's got something for me that will never be taken away. I don't have to worry about someone taking it, someone stealing it, someone running off with it, somebody wanting it more than I do, but God has an inheritance for me. We just have to continue to serve him because he's got a plan for our life. He's got a destination for us to be. If we just follow after God, he will lead us to where we need to go. And we need to do that with all hurriedness, I guess that's a word, as we can. Because this world is spinning out of control and God needs to step in. His plan is coming back. He's coming in the eastern sky. He's going to bust open the graves all over this place and we are going to go home. But we need to serve God. We need to spread the joy in our lives. And if you turn in your Bibles, if you want to, or I'll just read and I'll try to find my place. Isaiah 61. I know this is a Christmas story. We read this at Christmas a lot of times, and it talks about Christ. Verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." We say this was Christ's job. This, when he came into the world, this was what he wanted to do. This was what he was anointed to do. When Jesus was walking here on this earth, he was going along, came to the Jordan River. John the Baptist was baptizing people. And what happened? Jesus came up to him and he baptized him. And he went down and he came back and the Holy Dove came down and anointed him with this. If Jesus, while he walked here on this earth, needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life, how much more do we need it in our life? Because he has anointed you. I'll just change it around. He has anointed you guys to spread the gospel to the poor. A question to the is, who is the poor? And I thought about that, and I thought about the rich man Lazarus. The rich man was there. He had everything. Lazarus outside the gate, taking food from the dogs. The dogs were licking him. And Lazarus died. The rich man died. And what happened? It just reversed, didn't it? Lazarus was in the presence of God. The rich man was in hell in torment. He said, "Could you have Lazarus come over and dip his finger in the water and come over here and cool my lips? I want you to do that. I want you to go home, get a glass of water, and dip your finger in the water and pull it back out. How much moisture is on that finger? Not much, but that's what that guy was looking for. He was in so much pain and torment. And we need to reach out and touch people that are around us and spread the gospel with every bit of evidence you have. You don't have to be up here at a pulpit. You don't have to be, but you are need. We need to spread the gospel to the poor. Anybody that does not know who Jesus Christ is, they are poor, and we need to spread that news around. And he says he has sent us to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives while we released prisoners from freedom. Boy, I have to get my teeth wrapped around my tongue there, didn't I? Praise God. He sent us to comfort the brokenhearted. People are brokenhearted, aren't they, around this world? Everywhere we go, we see people that are brokenhearted. They're not happy. Nobody seems to be happy in the news. And we see here that God wants us to spread that through, proclaim captivities and release the prisoners with freedom. People are in prison. And talked to a guy, I know him pretty good, and he knows the scriptures, I think, better than about anybody. And we was there, we was just talking, and he says, you know, John, he said, when I got saved, I quit drinking. I quit cussing, and I quit smoking. I said, well, that's good. But he says, John, I can't quit rubbing snuff. And I thought, wow. He was in prison. You know, he was kept. Man, been praying for him. If you want to say a prayer for that man, go for it, because it's a captivity. I was trapped in that. I couldn't believe one time that I used tobacco and quit and serving God. 10 years later, after I got all that out of my system, someone lit a cigarette across the table, same brand I smoked. Guess what? I was reaching for that cigarette because that was the best smelling, best tasting thing I have ever. It was better than a piece of steak. And I said, I need that. And I stood up and started reaching. Luckily, God directed me and I left the place. Because it gets a hold into our bodies. But we have to realize that God came to heal the brokenhearted. And he has given us the ability. He has anointed us with that ability. And we need to have that more in our lives. We need to have that in our system. And he said He has sent us to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of the Lord's anger against the enemy. Mourning. We need to know that people are mourning in our lives. We need to tell people that there is an answer. If you jump back, I was going to mark that, and I forgot to. Back in Psalms 126, a very interesting thing there. It's a very short chapter. It talks about the nation of Israel was in Babylon in captivity, and I think Nehemiah, one of the prophets, went and rebuilt Jerusalem, and he sent word back and said, send the people, and the king of Babylon sent the people back, and it says that the people left with laughter in their mouth. They were happy. And the Bible, and it even says the people that are around, other people says, boy, God has done a great thing for you. And laughter. We need some laughter in our lives, don't we? We need some rejoicing in our lives. And that's what he was saying here, that we need to rejoice and tell people that Jesus Christ has the answer. We need to tell them that it says to those who mourn in Israel, he will give crowns of beauty of ashes, a joy blessing instead of mourning, feast praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oak trees. The Lord has planted them for his own glory. God has put you where he wants you, and we need to just sprout and start spreading the gospel around us. I cannot get that out. We need to rejoice what God is doing for us. You know, Sunday morning, man, Pastor Rhonda came with a sermon, and it was mighty. The power of God was here. And just like here to this evening, it is here. I can feel it. At least I'm feeling it. And God is here. I can tell you what, over this summer, I've been a few different places. We're blessed. We need to give him joy. We need to raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for letting your spirit move within this place. Because that's what we need. We need the anointing of Jesus on our lives, spreading the gospel wherever we go, because God is coming back. Praise God. I don't know where I'm at now. Verse 9, it says, their descendants will be recognized in honor above nations. Everyone will realize that they are the people that the Lord has blessed. Keep praising God because people are watching you. People are looking at you. Why are you so happy? What is up with you? Because God is on my side. He's turning my ashes into a crown. Only thing I can bring to God is a hallelujah. That's the best I can do for him. But he's satisfied with that as long as I bring it to him. Then this is one of my top favorite, came into my, I don't know, made me top five or somewhere in there. It says, verse 10, it says, I am overwhelmed with joy in our Lord God. Overwhelmed. Then it goes on down there, for he has dressed me with the clothes of salvation. He took this old, mean, nasty guy that used to walk in this body, covered me with his salvation, turned me around, messed with me. I flunked 10th grade English because I would not get up in front of the place and say something. And your guy said, well, you should have been about, keep it up there. But God has turned it around. He put a clothes of salvation and he draped me with a robe of righteousness. Now, I don't know what that robe of righteousness looks like, but I think I look pretty good in it. You guys look pretty good in it, let me tell you. When you start falling after God, God puts a kick, step in your step and makes everything. And this is what I really got a hold of. Never realized this. Read this 100 times. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit or the bride with her jewels. Have you been to a wedding lately? Woo! Man, everybody gets dolled up, don't they? Guys getting suits, all matching. They're looking good. Laura was getting married. We went down to Hagerstown to David Bridal's to look for a wedding dress. I stayed in there about 5-10 minutes, and I says, call me when you pick out the dress. Blundered out through there. Found a Ford dealership. And I thought, that's a good place to spend the rest of the afternoon. So up and down, I was out there walking, looking at pickups. Yeah. About this time, this young lady came out and she says, are you looking for a pickup? And I said, no, ma'am. I am looking for a wedding dress right down the road there. I said, I'm just killing time. Oh, well. And I said, well, you know, she says, is there anything you're looking for? And I said, now let me get this straight to you. My wife and daughters are down there looking at wedding dresses. I'm killing time. If you want to hang around me, that's fine. But I ain't buying no pickup today. Oh, okay. And she blundered around, kept coming around. And after a bit, I saw this pickup. Man, it had everything in, the kitchen sink and washer and dryer in the back. I mean, this baby was loaded to the hilt. And I'm looking at that, and she saw that on my face, and she said, would you like to take it for a ride? And I said, my wife and daughter is looking at wedding dresses. But if you want to go get the keys. So here she went. She was coming back, and she probably got about 20 feet to me. My cell phone rang. We picked the dress. She says, here's the keys. I said, they picked the dress. And there, I just turned and left, and I looked back, and she was. Don't we get dressed up for weddings? We look sharp. Guess what? God dresses me up, dresses you up. That's how much he loves us. It doesn't matter what we do, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through, no matter what heartache we're having, God loves us. God cares for us. God will pour out his spirit. And then over in chapter 62, verse 3, the Lord will hold you up in his hand for all to see, a splendor of crown in the Lord's hand of the Lord. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desert land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. Y'all know it, don't you? God loves you. Keep that in mind. Spread his news. Spread his gospel around, because God has appointed you. He has anointed you. Let the Holy Spirit move in your life, because God loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what pain and agony you're going through, don't care what the doctor just told you. God loves you. He's got it under control. He dresses us up. I can't wait to get to heaven. Walk down that street of gold. To see all the splendor of it all. To see when he started to make the earth and he said, I still loved you, boy, back then. God loves you. And I always wonder, too, how long will I be in heaven before God says, John Skipper, because I have messed up messing with somebody. But God loves you. If I can leave you with that, go leave here with God on your heart.